Shalom, and welcome to Ve'ahavta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Are you more kingdom-minded or earthly-minded? Now, as believers, our instinct is to want to say, of course, we're kingdom-minded people. But perhaps a much better indicator to give the right answer is not what we instinctively want to say, but when we look at how we handle our finances, meaning what is it that we do with our money? Our financial actions speak much louder than our words in regard to whether we are truly kingdom-minded or earthly-minded. Take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Luke and chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 13. Now here there is a large crowd of people, and one of those individuals from that crowd is going to speak to Yeshua directly and make a request. Look with me, please, to verse 13 where it says, "But a certain one from the crowd said to him, Teacher." Now, notice, this is a word of great respect. This individual is saying to Yeshua, he wants a response. He wants to know something. So he says, "Teacher, say to my brother that he divides with me the inheritance." Now, what is the context for such a question? It may seem kind of odd to us because if there's just two brothers and the father dies, obviously, we would think that each brother should get 50%. And that's the implication here when he says, "Say to my brother that he divides with me the inheritance." But we need to realize that a biblical context demands us understanding something different about this passage. Probably the one who is speaking is the younger brother, and he wants 50% because according to biblical law, and we're talking about the Torah, it tells us here that the firstborn gets a double portion. And apparently this other brother, the younger one, isn't happy about that. He wants it to be, in his mind, fair, equal portions. But God does not agree with this. So this is the motivation for this one brother saying to Yeshua, "Teacher, you instruct my brother that he divides," and the implication is, "equally this inheritance with me." Verse 14. "But he said to him," now we're going to encounter Yeshua's response, and he says, "Man," and again, this is more like, "Sir, sir, who," and pay attention to the word order. The next word in this verse is the word "me." And because of this surprising word order, because most Bibles will say, "Who has appointed me?" But in the biblical text, it says, "Who, me, has appointed." And the emphasis here is upon Yeshua. What he is wanting to convey is this, that it is God his Father which has set this commandment in order. And no one is in the position in order to change the commandments of God, to make a change in what Scripture teaches. So he says, "Sir, who me has appointed," and here's where it says, "to be a judge and a divider," or an arbitrator, "over you." So Yeshua is saying is, I did not come into this world to bring about a change in the commandments of God. We see that going back to Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. We see that Yeshua did not come to make void the law, but to fulfill the law. And that means to teach and to supply the means, and I would suggest to you through the Holy Spirit, whereby we can live in obedience to the instructions of God. That is a good thing. And that's why Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, those who walk not according to the flesh, and this is the problem with this brother, he is more fleshly minded, earthly minded than he is kingdom connected and committed to the kingdom. He wants more money beyond what the Word of God would allow him to receive, because there is a purpose in everything that God does. And the problem is this: our desires get in the way of the purposes of God. What does that mean? Our selfish desires, our concept of what is right, what is fair, what we have coming to us, hinders us from obeying God and carrying out His will and His purposes. Look now to verse 15. But he said to them, and the one who is speaking here is again Yeshua. He continues on to teach and give revelation, and he speaks kind of a warning to this young man. He says here, watch out. And this is a word which means to pay attention. Sometimes in the Bible, it's translated take heed, but in the simplest sense, it means to be perceptive, to be looking at things, and with the revelation of God, respond correctly. We can only have a right perspective if the Word of God is the lens that we're using to understand, interpret, and to perceive all things. He writes, watch out and guard yourselves from covetousness. Now, here's the problem. And I love how Yeshua gets at the heart of the matter immediately. He discerns that this younger brother, his problem is this: he is coveting that which God has not given to him. That God says, this is not for you. Wisdom and maturity and spiritual growth is going to cause us to agree with God, not argue with Him, but to submit to His instructions. If this is what God wants me to have, I want what God wants for me. I'm going to be committed to that, but this one is not. And that's why Yeshua pinpoints the problem and he says, watch out, guard yourselves from covetousness. Because, and here's a principle, this next part of the verse I would emphasize if I were you, because this is a foundational principle for living a God-pleasing life. You need to understand this and you need to agree with it where he says, because not in the abundance of the things that you possess, those things that are to someone, this abundance is not where one's life should be. So we don't find an abundant life in the abundance of possessions. This should not be our objective. This is not what we should be pursuing. What should we be pursuing? God's going to tell us that in a few minutes. He's going to illustrate that in a parable that very shortly he is going to share with us. Look now to verse 16. But he said, and again, Messiah is teaching. And he gives us a parable, and remember something. That word parable, it derives from a word in Hebrew. When we use the word parable and we translate that Greek word into Hebrew, it is based upon a word which has to do with information, wisdom, a teaching, a truth that ought to govern your life. And therefore, every time we come across a parable, the message of that parable should be what governs our life, what we should submit to, the rule of order for our life. Look again. But he said a parable to them. Now, why is that important? There's a change here. Up until this time, Yeshua was speaking to him, that brother. But now, this parable, he's just not speaking to him alone, but he's sharing it, he's teaching it to all the crowd. And likewise, that means that we need to perceive it, we need to receive it, and we need to apply it to our life. Once more, verse 16, where he says, a parable he said to them, saying, a certain wealthy man, the field, meaning the field of this certain wealthy man, it brought forth, and the word here means good or well. And the scripture is simply saying, there was a wealthy man, he had a field, and this field produced in an abundant way. Now, that should cause us to understand something. When we see that which is beyond normal, the implication here is that this harvest that this wealthy man had was something that went beyond normal. And there's going to be proof of that in a moment. And therefore, he should have understood this is God at work. God is blessing. God is giving me abundance. Remember what we just learned. The significance of a person's life, the essence of who he is, does not depend upon the abundant things that he possesses. He's going to teach us something very different here. So this field, this land, this ground produce in an abundant way. And it says, now look at verse 17. And he reasoned within himself, saying, right there, we have an error that this one made. When something happens to you that causes you to ponder this, to think about it, to make a decision, the first thing you should do is to take that to God in prayer. God is at work. This is a supernatural harvest. And therefore, this wealthy man, he's wealthy, he's used to success, he's used to abundance, but this is beyond that, and as said, in a moment, we're going to see why that is. But he reasoned in himself. He didn't pray. He didn't go to spiritual counselors in order to instruct him in the truth of Scripture, that he might apply the truth of Scripture to the decisions that he is pondering. But what did he do? It says here, he says within himself, what shall I do? Because I do not have where that I can store my fruit. Now, again, this one has probably farmed for a number of years, and he has had harvest after harvest, and we were told he is a rich man, so he most than likely had some very plentiful harvest. But now, this one is unusual, because never before has he been posed with this problem, that he has such a great harvest. There is no room, no place where he can store this abundance. So what should he do? Well, maybe had he prayed about it, or consider things from the position of wise spiritual counselors, what the Word of God would lead him to do, he would take this abundance like never before had he had experienced and shared it with others. He's pondering it. Why? The Scripture says that he reasoned within himself, and he says, what shall I do? Now look, if you would, to verse 18. He comes to a conclusion of himself. Verse 18. And he said, this I will do. Now, I realize most Bibles will say, I will do this. But the word order here in the original language is significant. It puts the emphasis on the word this. He believes that he's come up with a great solution. And it's this solution that derives from himself that he is pleased with and that is going to become the course of action for his life. So he says, look again, verse 18. And he said, this I will do. And what is he going to do? I will tear down my barns and greater ones I will build, and I will store there all my produce and my good things, meaning my prized things. Now again, this man has a great amount of possessions. We are already told he is a wealthy man. And now, for the first time, he has had such a supernatural harvest, something that is not normal or regular or ever experienced before, to the extent. What's he going to do? He is going to invest. He is going to tear down those old barns, those inadequate barns, and he's going to make larger ones in order that all that he has, he can store. But notice something. What is his objective? We're going to see that in a moment. Look now, if you would, to verse 19. And I say, my soul, he's going to, it's the same man speaking. He says, this wealthy man, he says, I will say to my soul, soul, and this word is also translated the word life. It's speaking about the real essence of himself. This is manifesting what he's going to say to himself, really manifests who he is and what he's connected to. What is the objective of his life? So we read here, look carefully at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much good things having been laid up for many years. So that is a true statement. He is a wealthy man. He has had the abundance, not just for this year, but the scripture saying over many years. God has been exceedingly good to him. And what is he doing? Storing up, storing up, storing up. He wants more and more and more. And even when he has so much that he can't store it up, it never occurs to him to give this to someone else, to be a blessing. It never enters into his mind, God is good to me. Maybe I should be generous and kind and good to someone else. That never happens. And what else does he say? Well, because he has the abundance for many, many years, this is what he says to himself. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, this is what he is wanting to do with the blessings of God. He wants to rest. He wants to eat. He wants to drink. And he wants to, most Bibles will say, make merry, simply means he wants to have a good time. He wants to enjoy himself. And the source of this joy, this contentment that he thinks that he's going to have, is all based in what? The abundance of what he possesses. But what do we learn from Yeshua? He taught that one's life does not consist and the abundance of things which to him that he possesses. This is not what life is about. And we're going to see a very important summarizing statement in a moment. Verse 20. But God said to him, fool. Now, that is a pretty strong word. And this word means a person who is not responding to the stimuli around him, meaning this. As we live our life, there are things that we see, and these things should stimulate a behavior, an action. In other words, we should learn from these things, and these things should cause us to behave, act, do in a certain way. And what the scripture is saying is that he is foolish. He's not paying attention to anything from the right vantage point, from the right perspective. He is always consumed in doing something that he likes, doing something for himself. He speaks to himself about himself, and everything that he has is for himself. What is being taught here? This one is not submissive to Torah truth. Why do I say that? Because the Apostle Paul teaches us in the book of Galatians that you can summarize the Torah, the message of the Torah, in one sentence. And what is that? V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, which means love your neighbor as yourself. He never thinks about someone else. He never thinks about any of the people who live by him, any of his family, any of his friends. No, he is only consumed with his desires. Let me ask you something. Does that describe you? When something good happens to you, do you ever pause and say, well, how can I take that and be good to someone else? See, the Torah foundation is love. We know that. When Messiah was asked, what is the greatest commandment of the Torah? He says, love. Love the Lord your God. And now the second great commandment of the Torah is also rooted in love. Love your neighbor as yourself. This man, he doesn't love God, not interested in God, doesn't pray to God, doesn't think about God, isn't in any way influenced by the word of God. And he doesn't care about anyone else but himself. Everything is a selfish decision based upon his own desires and his own expectations for what he wants his life to be. And therefore, this one is far removed from being kingdom-minded. And we're called to be kingdom-minded. Why? Well, remember that verse I alluded to, where the Apostle Paul says, do not walk in the flesh. Because those who walk in the flesh and not in the spirit, what's their problem? They do not fulfill the righteousness of the law. The law is rooted in love. And when you behave and act, being led, as Paul says in Romans 8:4, by the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit will cause someone to fulfill the righteousness of the law. And what we find is the desire to fulfill the law is rooted in love. The love that you have experienced from God, and that same love that God gives you, is going to cause you to love others, to be concerned for them, as God has perfectly demonstrated his concern for your well-being by providing his only begotten Son as the Redeemer, the one who laid down his life so that we can have eternal life. So what do we read here? Look again at verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required from you. What does that mean? This very night he is going to die. Now, when we die, we leave this world and we step into eternity. But what type of eternity? There's only two possibilities. You are either going to spend eternity in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where there is eternal torment, or you are going to spend eternity in the kingdom of God. And if you belong to that kingdom, If you have been redeemed by the blood of Messiah through that gospel message, then you are a kingdom citizen and you are called to live according to the kingdom truth. And therefore, you ought to be kingdom minded. This one is not. And he's going to give us a summarizing statement in order to show us how we can know whether we're kingdom minded or earthly minded. Again, God says to this one, this very night, your soul is going to be required from you. But that which you have prepared, all of these things that you've built these new barns in order to store all of your wealth, who will they be? You're not going to enjoy any of these things. And in fact, they are not going to do anything for your eternity. They are not going to be a kingdom blessing. And that's what we're called to do. To take the things that God gives to us and turn them into kingdom blessings for us. And how do we do that? By using them for righteous purposes. Let me say that differently. By using them for the purposes of God and demonstrating the love of God to others. What does he tell us in this passage? Look now to our last verse. And this is a summary statement. And I would suggest to you that you learn that. And not only do you learn and understand this last verse, verse 21, but you apply the wisdom, the instruction of this verse to your life. He says, thus, the one who stores up treasure unto himself, this one is not wealthy in God. Meaning this one does not produce the things that are precious in the sight of God. So again, let me conclude by asking you that same question. Are you kingdom-minded? Do you administrate the things that you possess with the mindset that you're leaving this world? And it may be much quicker than you think. And therefore, you want to utilize and be a good manager of what God gives you in order to show and demonstrate the love of God and to deal with these things in a righteous way so that the glory of God is manifested. That's what a true believer does. And this shows how we handle our finances, show whether we belong to the kingdom or whether we belong to this world. A very important question, and I hope that your life reflects the right answer.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.